The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Taking care of all the help you need for healthy, glowing skin at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
You may remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke to transgender couple Max and Victoria on the show. There was a lot of questions brought up by our interview with Max and Victoria. So we decided we'd invite in Professor Donal O'Shea, Ireland's leading endocrinologist, who has been working in the area of gender dysphoria for what, nearly 25 years now?
The bones of, yeah. The
25
bones
years. And we've had chats about it over the last 5 years.
That's right.
Yeah. And things have changed quite considerably in those 5 years, have they not?
Oh, I mean, the change has been massive in terms of visibility. Realisation in society that gender is not black and white, it's not your birth sex. Gender is something that you discover about yourself as you develop as a person. And so with that, we've seen a big surge in gender questioning, gender fluidity, and that's all very positive. It put huge stress on our service because, you know, 5 years ago we were getting maybe 30 to 40 referrals. In the last couple of years, it's been 250, 300 referrals. And that's why the HSE came in and funded our adult service to a level now that for adults we have, you know, as good a service as there is anywhere in the world. What we need to do is just make sure that we deliver the best possible outcomes for the vast majority. You'll never get it right for everybody, but for the vast majority of people on their gender affirming journey.
So let's define the terms, I suppose. Gender dysphoria then.
Yeah.
How would you describe that?
Well, I mean, it's where you're say born and you're assigned male at birth, but you're growing up and you feel that doesn't fit right, and that you really either don't assign to a male or female gender, or that you assign more a female gender. And for some people, but not for everybody, the level of distress that causes is such that starting a gender affirming journey that involves hormones and that may involve surgery is the right thing. So the dysphoria is a distress around the parts of your body that you just don't feel belong with your mind.
So it could be genitals, voice, breasts.
It could be Adam's apple. It could be it could be face. You know,
hair growth, I suppose.
Hair growth. 30 years ago, you know, if you nearly had to sign up to complete surgical and hormonal reassignment to be given a diagnosis of transgender. Now, it's very clear that some people will want to start hormone treatment, but won't want to have surgery. And for them, that takes them to the point in their gender where they're comfortable. Okay. And that's the object of the exercise.
So you work in this area. Do you have to be careful with the language? Because already you said diagnosed as transgender.
Absolutely.
Would people be offended by that?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And I heard you even make up a new word when you were talking to Max and Victoria. You talked about gender transphoria, which is a completely new word.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
You did. And they didn't pick you up. No,
right, okay.
It's nothing to be picked up on.
That was my mistake.
But so, and the terms are changing, and it's really important how the language we use and the way we discuss the gender issue, and the way then obviously that we manage the gender issue.
The other phrase you used there, Jon, was gender questioning.
Yeah.
So how would you define that?
But you know, that's where I suppose everybody has to come to terms with their sexuality. and has to realise that actually I'm heterosexual, I'm gay, I'm bi, and everybody does that. 99% of people don't gender question. They're born male, assigned male at birth, and they assign and align with that gender. 1% will question. And they'll have to come to terms with their gender, and they'll have to realise it's actually that's not quite this black-white Western society kind of stereotype of male and female, that doesn't work for them. And on that gender questioning journey, which is commoner, you know, in kids, because you know they're, you know, maybe the youngest of, they've five older brothers and they're a younger sister, but they're growing up doing the boy things all the time, and so you know in that situation they might be more likely to gender question a little and wonder, well, you know, and explore that, so. That's common, and that's to be, you know, in that's to be encouraged, and it's a positive thing that people are able to, in this day and age,
so
question that.
Would a lot of people gender question and not suffer from gender dysphoria?
Yeah, certainly people will gender question and arrive at their I suppose own point in that gender questioning where, yeah, look, I'm not really male, I'm not absolutely female, I'm somewhere in the middle, and that's fine, and I'll get on. And they won't be distressed by their body to a degree that requires intervention, and that's with hormones, with treatment, like, you know, with the speech and language therapist, and you know, she's been a massive addition to our team in terms of our learning about you know, passing is not just about a voice. It's more than that. It's how you project yourself. It's how you deal with little lapses. You know, it was interesting to hear Victoria talk about the kind of distress.
So Victoria, a transgender woman, and she's going to speech therapy.
Yes, but she longs for a day when she'll be able to speak as she is and not get grief for it. So be Victoria, but with a male voice, and not be so, the subject of you know,
derision.
Yeah.
Can we just remind people then, just the sequence of events? So a child says, I feel a disconnect between the sex I was assigned as a baby and how I feel in myself. So, you know, I was told I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl, right?
Yeah.
So and it's consistent, and their parents spot this, and then what happens next then?
Well, I work exclusively in the kind of adult system.
Yes, yeah.
So we deal with people really from the age of 17, 18 up. The HSE has, as I say, have funded our adult service now to a level that it's in line with the very best in the world in terms of funding, which is fantastic. And there's a focus now on developing the children's service in Ireland, because it's a problem that's increasingly, it's a challenge that's increasingly common, and that gender questioning will often be in childhood. And it seems, certainly before puberty, that a lot of gender questioning that the child, when they reach puberty and pass through puberty, will the majority align with their birth sex for their gender. So watchful waiting and allowing the child to explore their gender without making a thing about it, and without medicalising it at a young age, is really important. And we have to move away from the medicalisation of it.
And what is the medicalisation? Is that hormone blockers?
It's the treatment where you start either hormone blockers, and then when they're a little bit older, add in what's called the cross hormone therapy, so estrogen to.
And what age would hormone blockers be prescribed?
There's an international research being done on this, because I don't know the answer to this. You know, it's not clearly established. There are some studies where they start hormone blockers in early puberty and then watch things for a few years before doing a reassessment to decide if going on the cross-hormone treatment, the testosterone or the estrogen, is the right thing. And if child's gender identity is clear and is stable over time.
Yeah. Triptorelin, is that that drug? Is that Triptorelin?
Yeah.
Triptorelin.
Yeah. Well, there's various generic names and trade names for hormone blockers.
Okay,
I've never heard of that one.
Okay. Right, you've never heard of that one?
I've never heard of that one.
Right. It's mentioned in a lot of articles I read.
Yeah, no, I think I know. It's Zolidex, Cacerolin. They're all just hormones. It's a hormone that switches off your production of sex hormones.
Aha, right. People wouldn't have heard of the Tavistock Centre prior to 3 years ago. Now, I'm sure it's on a lot of people's radar, even if they don't know what to do. They've heard the name Tavistock.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they do in Tavistock?
When I worked in London, I worked closely with people in the Tavistock. They carry out assessments of children who are gender questioning. And that's what they do. Crumlin Hospital are currently looking at their relationship with Tavistock because they need to look at their relationship with Tavistock because of just the recent kind of events.
Yeah. So you and part of the reason we invited Jim was that your name was mentioned in an article in the Irish Independent because you were at a meeting at Crumlin Hospital and you voiced, I'm not going to put words into your mouth, whatever you said. And then when the minutes of the meeting appeared, your comments had been withdrawn from the minutes. Isn't that's what the article said. Is that factually correct?
I didn't see that article.
Did you not?
No.
It was you. There's three, Morin and what's the other guy's name? Schneider, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been at a lot of meetings
yes,
to do with gender over... over the years, as we've moved to set up the service we have now, and Dr. Carl Neff now leads up that side of the service, and he's attending most of those meetings. I'm moving, if you like, I suppose, out of leading the service
because
it's just vast, and I'm concentrating on the obesity space and operation transformation and
yes,
how it's looking.
Yeah. But your name was mentioned, and it was the comments. My understanding was that you were questioning the presence or whatever was going on in Crumlin Hospital with regards to the Tavistock. So what happens there at the moment?
It's in the public domain that Tavistock is being looked at very closely by in the UK itself because of concerns that are expressed about people getting onto hormone treatment too early and too quickly. The main, I suppose, concerns that is a concern, and
yes.
Some place is being looked at for how it's managing a condition. Well, then you need to be very careful about outsourcing your.
Which is happening
children,
at the moment.
Which is what is happening at the moment
in Crumlin Hospital.
They're
outsourcing the treatment of transgender Irish children to Tavistock.
Because we don't have a service, and that's what we're looking now to set up, is a service in Ireland to match the service that we have in Loughlinstown so that we can do this well for Irish children in Ireland.
How can people get it wrong? I see that there's a court case now happening in England that a former patient of Tavistock is taken to the court because she feels that she was put on... hormone blockers when she shouldn't have been, and she wasn't old enough to know what was going on.
Yeah, I think it's a group that you'll never get it right for everybody because you never do. But we have to be absolutely sure we get it right for the vast majority. And I've again learned a lot from our team. But clear and stable is gender identity. Is the important thing. And if you're gender questioning or you're gender fluid and you start down a road of treatment that is irreversible, then that's a disaster. And I've said to you before, the most positive outcomes I have been involved with over my 25 years in medicine is a gender-affirming journey carried with support from family, with support from your social network. It's a fantastic, journey. The most negative outcomes that have been associated with are where an individual transitions and regrets.
Okay.
And it's rare, but you have to minimise the chance of that happening.
Are the effects of hormone blockers reversible?
Hormone blockers are reversible.
Completely?
Completely might be, but the majority, the vast majority right. are reversible.
Do they affect people's fertility?
While they're on them, yes. But when they're stopped, then people's fertility will...
And then the next set of hormones are called, what are they called?
Well, they're cross hormones. That's
cross
when you
hormones.
Start the hormone that brings you, if you're a trans man, you'll start testosterone and you'll get the effects of testosterone, which is the hair growth, the thickening of the vocal cords, the maybe change in skin. And then if you're a trans woman, you'll go on estrogen and that will have effects on the skin and fat distribution and so on.
Do those hormones have a permanent effect?
They would leave you with some lasting effects, but again...
And what age do you start those at?
Well, we're an adult service,
so we're
17 and 18.
Where do, and I know you're mainly adults, but where do parents come into all of this, the mix and all of this?
Parents are a critical part of, dealing with any situation that one of their children faces. And you need really good support in place for parents because most parents won't have heard about it. Most parents will have to come to terms with it as a thing, first of all, and then a thing that applies now in their family. And many parents will talk about loss of, losing their son or daughter and then gaining, but years later, gaining. Uh-huh.
So the initial thing is grief and then...
The initial thing is confusion and then a feeling of loss.
Yeah.
For some, that isn't the case because they'll have actually known from an early age.
We spoke to Aisling Gannon and she spoke about her son, Steve.
And you and would have known from very early age, and so it was actually almost clear and obvious.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's back to the increase in numbers. And there must be, you must have chats with your colleagues abroad, and because it's a pattern that's repeated in a lot of countries.
It's international now in the developed world where it's a 50% year-on-year increase beginning to level out now.
Yes, and that's over the last 4 or 5 years.
And that's over the last maybe a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are the theories about why that happened?
I think one theory is around an unmet need and visibility and more open discussion. So if you look at Eastern cultures and African countries, they've always had space for a third gender, male, female, other. Never had that in the Western world. It's been, stereotyped and kind of pigeonholed.
So visibility and acceptance.
Yeah. And then, there is, I would say, for Max and Victoria, who were on 2 weeks ago, they're open, they're engaged in society, but they don't represent maybe 50% of the people who would attend our service who are would be isolated, certainly wouldn't be happy being very public about their journey and maybe gender, still on the gender questioning side of things. And within any group, you have to be really concerned about the minority within the minority. Mm. And that's why the informed consent model say Tenney would like to see it doesn't work. It works
informed
maybe.
Consent model
as
opposed to a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Is that the two options?
Yeah, as opposed to a journey supported by the right group,
which comes
of a
after a diagnosis.
Team,
yeah, yeah.
Which, well, gender isn't a diagnosis.
No, but gender dysphoria is.
But gender dysphoria is, and you know, the name changed about a number of years ago now from gender identity disorder, which was really offensive, the idea that it could be a disorder.
And a lot of people are still offended that it is a diagnosis.
Yes.
And that's why they want this other, self-identity.
And you can legally now self-identify, and Ireland is, you know, in the van of that change. And the idea that you can...
And if you do that, you can't get treatment. That doesn't allow you to treatment.
Again, listening to the interview with Max and Victoria, I think Max was able to get... he had changed his name and gender by deed poll, so that entitled him to access treatment in Poland. I don't think a legal document should be a passport to accessing medical treatment. I mean, you know, we in the medical field in general, so I'm an endocrinologist, so I deal with thyroids, so we sit at a multidisciplinary team and agonise about, should we remove half the thyroid? Is that the best operation for the individual? Is that what we should be doing? The idea that you would go for surgery that removes really important parts of your anatomy without self-identifying is going to cause harm. And the first rule in medicine is do no harm. I think it's really important that decision is made over time with the right kind of support, and that way you will minimise the chance of causing harm. Mm-hmm. You'll never get rid of it.
A lot of people who suffer from gender dysphoria also suffer with maybe anxiety or depression. Which comes first, or are they all sort of meshed up together?
I think it's a bit. You could hear again Victoria talking about the distress around voice and needing, you know, that. I think having gender issues and gender questioning is going to be associated with anxiety and distress. Anxiety coming before it. You know, when does it start? So I think it is all mixed in.
Well, just the HSE just sent us in a statement, which I better read. The HSE has worked with leading clinicians in Ireland and representatives of the transgender community to develop an agreed model of care for the development of a transgender identity service. We now have a planned and funded commitment to have the services delivered by a full staff team based in Ireland. So,
yeah, there's a meeting later in the week to look at the model of care for delivering care for Irish children in Ireland. I think that's critically important.
Are there lessons to be learned about from Tavistock?
For me, it's, lots of Irish medical graduates go away and then come back and bring expertise back to Ireland. The idea that we would need to outsource the management of a very, challenging group of individuals who have, you know, when to have proper assessments, need to have the family around and so on, and need to have occupational therapists and social workers. The idea that, I think the main lesson is to do things as well as we can, in Ireland for Irish patients.
Makes sense, yeah.
And maybe look a little bit at the whole of the island, you know, for certain things that... I know the transgender service in Belfast is, in Northern Ireland, is in massive difficulty in terms of volume and capacity. And we're building our service up, unbelievably compared to when we sat 5 years ago. I mean, it's just what we have now in terms of resource is really good. And the idea that you might be able to say, well, look, maybe on the island of Ireland, we'll start looking at doing it for all our children, adults.
And what about the very heated debates that go on mainly online about this whole transgender issue? Do you involve yourself?
I don't do the online thing, yeah. But I know it's been vitriolic and really offensive, which is really unfortunate because the service that Carl Neff is now heading up out in Loughlinstown is going to be as good as there is anywhere in the world. And I have concerns, you know, so Tenney are funded by the HSE, get a lot of money from the HSE, between Tenney and Belong to well over $500,000. And they will bring a standpoint to the discussion rather than a representative view.
Go on, explain that to me a bit.
So, 25 years working in the area, I've seen what works well, I've seen what works badly, and we have a model of care that is a holistic model of care that I'm delighted with. But Tenney will say informed consent. And even when you sit down and explain the harm that that will cause to 50% of the people attending our service, so it'll be fine for the other 50%, but you can't have 50%.
We'll have to get them in and have a chat with them as well, with Tenney. They're not here to represent themselves today. Fascinating, and it's great to hear that the services have increased. And so much has changed in the last 4 or 5 years. So we'll keep an eye on it and you might come back into us again.
And word about Operation Transformation, no?
No, not today. Don't know, Shay. Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.